Good morning. Today's daf and Shabbos is Ayin Gimel. We are on the top of Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph with the two dots. Itmar. We're in the middle of the Gemara's discussion of Misasek. Yesterday, the Gemara introduced us to the topic of Misasek, one of the Peturim on Shabbos, where a person, if he is Misasek, so he will be Pater from having to bring a carbon. It will not even be liable to a carbon chatas. What is Misasek? So we discussed that yesterday. The idea behind Misasek, the basic idea behind Misasek, is that the person is unaware of his actions, as opposed to a Davar Shein Miskaven, where the person is unintended in terms of the consequence, but he's fully aware of his action. And the same thing could be said regarding Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa, where the person is fully aware of his actions, and the same thing could be said also regarding Shogeg. The idea behind Shogeg is that the person is fully aware of what he's doing, it's just that he is forgetful about the Halacha, or he's forgetful about the fact that today's Shabbos. But when it comes to Misasek, the person is not fully aware of his actions. So the classic example of Misasek, where there is no subject to debate, is where the person dropped the knife on the floor, picks up the knife, and while picking up the knife, he mistakenly cuts something which is connected to the ground. That is a classic example of Misasek. There is no machlokas over there. The person would be punished for bringing a karban. The area where there is a machlokas is the following. He is chotech something. He's looking to cut something, which he thinks is talosh min hakarka, which he thinks is detached from the ground. And meanwhile, it was attached. Under those circumstances, so it is true that it was a mistake in his action. He did not intend to cut something that was attached to the ground. So what is that? Is that considered a category, under the category of misasek? So that we had a machlokas between Rav and Abaye. Rav says it still maintains to be under the category of misasek and you be pater. Abai says no, because you cannot say that this is a case of unintended action. Because over here, what was his intention? To cut. What did he do? He cut. And Abai, therefore, is of the opinion that this does not fall under the category of misasek. Abai would say, under those circumstances, assuming that he was a shogeg, he has to bring carbon chatas. With that stated, so we saw yesterday, the Gemara went through extensively this machlokes between Abai and Rava. And yesterday, we went through a lengthy braisa which seemed to have proven Rava's position, but the Gemara deflected. The Gemara said you could still defend Abai's position, and that's where we're up to right now. So for the first half of today's daf, we're going to finish off this discussion in the Gemara of Misasek, give other examples of Misasek in which Abai and Rava will be arguing, and that will be the first half of today's daf. The second half of today's daf, coming up, is going to be the Malachos, here on Daf Ayin Gimel. We're going to formally introduce all 39 Malachos of the Torah, and then what the Gemara will do for the balance of this Perek is that, well, not really the balance, but for most of the remainder of this parak, is that the Gemara is going to give crisper, clear definitions in terms of the 39 malachos. And that will be the second half of today's daf. Let's begin the first half of today's daf. Itmar, Niskaven Lezrok Shtayim Vezarek Arba. Let's say the person intended on throwing something. He wasn't a Rishus Arabim, and his intention was to throw something, but just two amos. And meanwhile, he overthrew, and it went for amos. Rav Amar Patra Abaye Amar Chayev. So here we have, once again, a debate between Rav and Abaye in terms of whether or not this falls under the category of misasek. And Rav is consistent. Rav says that under those circumstances, be Patra. Why? Because it was an unintended action. He was only intent on throwing something two amos. Meanwhile, it flew four amos. And so therefore, Rav says this falls under the category of misasek. Abaye says, you be Chayev. Why? And so the Gemara is going to spell it out. Rav Amar Patra Deloke Mechaben Lezrika Da'arba. So again, in defense of Rava, he didn't intend on throwing something for amos. He only was intent on throwing it to amos. Abaye Amar Chayev Da'akim Mekav Lezrika Ba'ama. And according to Abaye, let us just simply say that what was his intention? To throw something. What did he do? He threw something. So you can't call this an unintended action. That was his action. The fact that he only meant to throw two and it ended up going four, it's not going to remove you from being a Mechal Shabbos. You have violated the Shabbos. And if you forgot that carrying was Asr, if you forgot that transporting something for Amos in a Rishus Rabbim is Asr, so you're a Shogeg. Okay, but in other words, but still, it's a Malach of Shabbos. Kasavar Rishus Yachid, the Gemara now is going to go over another circumstance. Let's say Kasavar Rishus Yachid Vintes Rishus Rabbim. Let's say you were going to transfer something, you did transfer something, from one Rishus to another. It happens to be that you thought that the second Rishus was Rishus Yachid. And meanwhile, what comes out now is that it wasn't a Rishus Yachid, but rather was a Rishus Arabim. Rav Amar Pata, Rav Amar Chayev. So here we have once again a debate between Rav and Abaye. Rav Amar Pata Dala Mecham Lizrika Isur. Rav is of the position that, look, what was your intention? Your intention was not to perform zrika that was asur. Your intention was to perform zrika, throwing, going from one rishus to another. You thought that the second rishus was a rishus yachid. And so therefore, Rav calls this misasik. Abaye Amar Chayev Daka Mecham Lizrika Ba'ama. And Abaye says, look, what was your intention to throw? What did you do? You threw? That's it. That is enough to say that this action is not considered an unintended action. The action is considered an intended action, and therefore you're going to be chayev. This doesn't fall under the category of misasek. Okay. So we have now given a total of, between yesterday and today's daf, three different examples where Rava and Abaye are arguing, but the truth of the matter is that all three of them are pretty much the same point. What we discussed yesterday was your intent to cut something which you thought was detached turns out to be attached. Machlok is Rav and Abaye. Rav says it's Masasik, Abaye says it's not. Our second example that we saw today, person was intent on throwing something two amos in a Rishos Rabim, ended up throwing four. Rav says that's Masasik, Abaye says it's not. The third example where you were intent on throwing something from what you thought was a Rishos Yachid to another Rishos Yachid, turns out that the second domain actually is Rishos Rabim. So Rav says it's Masasik, Abaye says it's not. So good. So the more examples, the better. But is the Gemara feel that all three of these examples are necessary? Utsricha. And the Gemara says, yep, they're all necessary. Because if I only have the first example, so there, Rava would argue that you weren't intent on making a cut that was prohibited. You thought that vegetable was already detached from the ground. The arba below tarte lo mizrikale ema modele labai. But in the second example, you were intent on throwing two amas. You threw four amas. Maybe you could make the argument over there that, you know, you can't throw four amas with first throwing two amas. And so maybe Rebbe would tell you, it's hard, it's really hard to call that an unintended action. Meaning you threw two amas, you end up throwing four. Okay, but included within four is the number two. And you did throw two. So maybe there Rebbe would agree with Abaye that that's considered an intended action. And let's go now to the third case. In the third case, look, what was your intent to throw from one Rishos Yachid to another Rishos Yachid? Did the ball go as far as you wanted it to go? Yes. Did you intend on throwing four amos? Yes. So really, the only thing lacking over here is your understanding of what that other domain was. So over here, it's even harder to call it an unintended action because you threw it. It went as far as you intended on throwing it. It is more challenging, and that's what we gain by the third example. Yes, but that's still going to be considered misasek, according to Rava, because you weren't intent on throwing a zrika of Isser. Your intent was to throw a zrika of Heter. And so therefore, this too is going to also fall under the category of misasek. So we have now given a tzrichusa, a necessity, the need for all three cases. And in all three cases, Rav is really building one chiddush on top of another in terms of even in a scenario where you really can argue that that's not misasek. So Rav is prepared to argue that even that last case, that would still be considered misasek. Tanan, we turn to our Mishnah. Now, we've done this a couple of times already. This is going to be, I believe, round number three in terms of asking a form of this question. Avos malachos arbim chaser achas, there's a Mishnah, which we're going to be learning later this morning, that there are a total 39 malachos. We ask the question, why does the Mishnah need to tell us that there are 39 malachos? We can count the number of malachos. We will get to the number 39. Rav Yochanan says it's just there to illustrate that there is a scenario in which a person can violate all 39 malachas on one Shabbos, and he would be chayev 39 times over. And now the question becomes as follows: Bishlam la abayi damer ki agav nechayev mishkachat la diyada di isur Shabbos viyada la isur malachos v'kata bishiurin. So here we're asking now again another form of the same question, which is, how can a person violate all 39 malachos and be called a shogeg b'Shabbos? How can he not remember a single malacha and still say that he has some sort of awareness of Shabbos, right? This is now a scenario of, I said shogeg Shabbos, I meant a shogeg in the malachos, but being amazed in Shabbos. How can you be shogeg in every one of the malachos and still be considered amazed in Shabbos? How are you recognizing Shabbos if you are right now forgetting all 39 malachos? Good. So we've asked this question already two times over, but we get to ask it again. But the reason why we're asking it again over here is because in the context of our discussion, Mesasek, so for Abaye, we have a wonderful answer. And that is because according to Abaye, all these examples that we just gave, all three of the examples that we just gave, according to Abaye, doesn't fall under the category of Mesasek. And if it doesn't fall under the category of Mesasek, so therefore, it is considered Chilul Shabbos. So good, so now we have scenarios in which you knew about the malacha, but you were just making a mistake in terms of the shear. Meaning, you knew about the malacha of Otsar, but what you did is that you threw two amos instead of four. Okay, but according to Abaye, this would be an example of being mechayiv and being subject to a chiv chatas. Ela l'Rav Damar Pater, but according to Rabbi, it says that you're Pater, and this is an example of misasek. So heichi mishkach labezadon Shabbos v'shigas malachos. So now, according to Rava, what would be an example of being aware of Shabbos but not being aware of a single malacha? So in what way do you know that it's Shabbos? So hanichai savor like Rav Yochanan, and here the Gemara goes again and makes the same point that we made already two times over. So according to Rav Yochanan, we have a way of explaining. The Amar came Sheshaga Bekaris Afapishi Hizid Balav Mishkachad Liyadala Lashabbos Balav. So remember, what is the definition of Shogeg? So according to Rav Yochanan, Shogeg means you forgot about the severe punishment of Karis, even though you were fully aware of the fact that there was a Lav. So now, according to Rav Yochanan, it works out well. You knew about every one of the Malachos vis-a-vis that the Torah prohibits those Malachos. You forgot for each one of the 39 that it carries with it the Kari's penalty. That would be considered Shogeg. And now, how could I have forgotten all 39 malachas and still remember Shabbos? Answer is very simple, according to Rav Yochanan. I simply forgot that it was Kari's. Each one of the 39 carries it with the Kari's, but I remembered that the Torah prohibits all 39. Good. But Ela E, Savala Ki Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish, but if I subscribe to the Shita of Reish Lakish, according to Reish Lakish, it only is going to be shogeg if I forgot both about the Yisr Kares and the fact that the Torah prohibits it. So by definition now, shogeg according to Reish Lakish means I forgot that the Torah prohibits this particular malacha. And let's do that now 39 times over. I forgot all 39 were prohibited. So according to Reish Lakish, the question now is very simple. Now that you have forgotten about all 39 malachos, how could you be a shogeg in the malachos and be amazed in Shabbos? In what way have you remembered that today is in fact Shabbos? Min HaTorah. So the Gemara's answer, Diadalala Shabbos, B'mad Yadalala B'tchumim Ba'alim B'Rabbi Akiva. So we should anticipate the Gemara's answer, as the Gemara now has given this answer now for a third time, and that is, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Isra of Tchum is an Isra Daraisa. Going 2,000 amos beyond your prescribed location is prohibited, not just rabbinically, but min HaTorah. But it does not carry with it a karish liability. There is no carbon chatas to be brought for violating the Yisr of Tchum. You do violate the Torah according to Rabbi Akiva. So in that way, you now know that it's Shabbos, even though you've forgotten about the other 39 malachos. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of Misasik. So, when all said and done, we have a machlokas between Abaye and Rava in terms of what the scope of Misasik is. Rava gives a wider scope in terms of what Misasik is. Machlokas between Abaye and Rava, we do paskan like Rava with six notable exceptions. This is not one of the six notable exceptions. And so therefore, we're going to work with a larger scope of what falls under the category of Misasik. We are in the Mishnah 9 Gimel Amud Aleph, and here we go. We are going to roll out now the 39 malachos. Avos malachos are Baim Chasar Achas. There are a total of 39 malachos, 40 minus 1. This language of 40 minus 1 is a language that we're used to, we're familiar with, when dealing with makos, how many lashes a person receives. Also using a language of Arbaim Chasar Achas. Certainly interesting that the Mishnah chooses 40 minus 1 as opposed to saying 39. I've heard explanations, but let's go through the 39 malachos. They are. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to be able to organize the 39, because the first 11 are what's called Sidur de Pas. We're going to hear that kind of language in tomorrow's daf. the idea that the first 11 is basically the actions that are necessary in order to bake bread. 11 steps in terms of baking bread. And so those are the first 11 of the 39. After that, we're going to take a look at another 13. The 13 basically in terms of how to put a beged together, how to put a garment together. The 13 steps necessary in terms of putting a beged together. And then after that, 7 steps in terms of how to make the hides of an animal. And then after that, it's not super clear cut that this is the right way to organize it. But if you'll work with me, the next 7 after that is going to be basically the steps in building. And then after that, the last one is going to be Hotsah. So the 39, if one wants to organize it, so it could be 11 in terms of bread baking, 13 in terms of cloth making, 7 in terms of hide making, and 7 in terms of building. And then the last one being Hotsah, carrying from one domain to another domain. Those are going to be the 39 malachas. The overarching question is, what do they represent? Meaning, what are these 39 malachas? So you remember we discussed earlier, the 39 malachas are what's necessary in terms of Binyan HaMishkan. Back on Daf Mem Tes, the Gemara asked the question of what is the significance of these 39 malachas. So the Gemara back on Mem Tes Amud Beis says, I'm quoting the Gemara inside, right in the middle of Mem Tes Amud Beis, Hadidnan, that which we learned in the Mishnah, Avos Malachos Arba'im Chasar Keneged Mi, what are these 39 Malachos? Amalei Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama Keneged Avodos HaMishkan. So it's there in order to instruct us regarding literally the labor, the work that's done in the Mishkan. Now what exactly does that mean? So the Rashi there writes, but he does write very succinctly, Oso HaMenuyo Sham Beper Kla Gadol Hayut Srichim LeMishkan. Uparsha Shabbos Nesmechala Parshas Malachas HaMishkan LeLoma Yemeno. The Parsha Shabbos is juxtaposed right next to the Parsha of the Mishkan, and these are those that are Srichos LeMishkan. There is another Rashi thereabouts that speak to the idea that these are the Malachas that are necessary for the building of the Mishkan. And we'll see a Rashi also later on that speaks to this idea as well. Rashi is of the position that these are the malachos that are required for the building of the Mishkan. So in terms of the last 7, which have to do with Binyan, totally understand. The hides as well, so there are hides that are necessary for the Mishkan itself. We learned earlier in our Masechta that the coverings that are put over the Mishkan are made up a composite of hides. Also begadim, right, the clothing. Clothing are necessary for the Mishkan because as one of the coverings of the Mishkan, so there was a... there were layers of hide, and there were also layers of clothing as well. Bread gets a little bit tricky in terms of the building of the Mishkan. So there's no need for bread. So we're going to see this in the Gemara a little bit later on, and that is the idea that even though the Mishnah is articulating in terms of bread, what we could say is that Mishnah is just giving an example of bread. But the truth of the matter is that some amana in terms of the spices that are necessary for the building of the Mishkan. Right, spices that are needed to dye certain items. So they also go through a process. Admittedly, it's not exactly the same as baking bread, but even though the Mishnah is using bread as the example, but maybe what the Mishnah also could be referring to is the preparation of the spices and dyes that are necessary. So perhaps that is what the Mishnah here is making reference to in terms of how it's connected to Binyan HaMishkan. Okay, in terms of understanding the Gemara back on Mentes, so I presented Rashi that what's necessary is Binyan HaMishkan. So there is also the opinion of Rav Haigon, who actually predated Rashi. And Rav Haigon says that it's not the 39 malachos that are required for the building of the Mishkan, but rather 39 malachos for the operation of the Mishkan. Now that works out a lot better in terms of understanding the first 11. Because bread, obviously, is necessary for operating the Mishkan. You had the Lechem Apanim. You had Menachos. So, admittedly, it's a lot better, according to Rav Haigon, to understand that it's not the building of the Mishkan, but it's the operation of the Mishkan. Either way, let us go through now the 39 Malachos. Avos Malachos, Arbaim Chasar Achas, or Arb. 39 Malachos, and as we already explained, the first 11 are going to be involved in... the steps making bread. Number one, Zoreh is planting. Number two, Choresh is plowing. Number three is Kotzer, harvesting. Number four, Ma'amar, gathering. Number five, Dash, that is threshing. Number six, Zoreh, that is winnowing, throwing the chaff up into the air, allowing the heavier seeds to come down, the heavier kernels to come down, and the chaff to blow away. Number seven, Borer, separating. Number eight, Tochen, grinding. Number nine, Merakeh, that's sifting. Number 10 is Lush, kneading. Number 11, Ha'ofet, baking. So those are the 11 steps that are required in terms of the baking of bread. You will notice, the Gemara is going to notice, that there seems to be a little bit of overlap in terms of basically the functionality of some of these first malachos. So for example, how many forms of separation are there in the first 11? The answer is a total of 3. There is Dash. There is Zoreh. Zoreh is where you are separating the chaff from the kernel. There is Borer. Borer, again, is when you finer separate the psolas, the stones and the inedible from the edible portion of the wheat. And there's Merakeh and there's sifting. So there actually are 3 steps over here that really speak to the same idea of separating the good from the bad, but the bad from the good. We'll talk much more about this in tomorrow's daf. Why do they make up 3 malachos when really in function they're really all the same? The Gemara is going to ask this question. The Gemara is going to give an answer. So let's wait for the Gemara in order to discuss it. Next, we're going to go through 13 steps in terms of making clothing. How goes this? It's a summer. We start with the shearing of the sheep. That is, I'll call it number 1. Eventually, we're going to get to 39, but I just like the idea of breaking down the 39 into categories so that we get to see each of them in category. It'll help us in terms of organizing all 39, committing to all 39 better to memory when you have at least a starting point of 11, 13, 7, and 7. Number 1 goes to Tzitzemer, shearing the sheep. Malavno, then bleaching the wool. Haminapso, combing it out. Hatsovo, number 4, the dyeing of the wool. Number 5, Tova, spinning of the wool. Hamesach, pulling out the string. Number 7, Ha'ose Shtei Batinirim. Now, number 7s, 8, and 9 are involved in the weaving process. Admittedly, I do not know much about the weaving process. I know that there is a horizontal. I know there's a vertical. A Shesi Ve'erev. After that, however, it is really a profession in of itself. So although I'll be able to read number 7, 8, and 9, I won't do much in terms of describing it, just simply because of my lack of knowledge of the weaving process. Ha'ose Shtei Batinirim, that's number 7. Ha'oreg Shnei Chutin, weaving 2 strings. And number 9, Ha'potzea Shnei Chutin. So these are involved in the weaving process, numbers 7, 8, and 9. Ha'kosher, tying. Ha'matir, untying. V'ha'tofer Shnei Tfiros, making 2 stitches. Ha'korea Amanas Litfor. This is already number 13 in the list of making a baguette, and that is tearing in order to make 2 stitches. So this is going to be the 13 steps that are required in terms of making a garment, making a baguette. And now we're up to the making of the hides. And there are 7 that are involved in hide making. Hatsatsi, first there is the trapping of the deer. Number 2, Hashochto, the shechting of the deer. Number 3, Mafshito, the flaying of the hide off of the deer. Number 4, Hamocho, salting the hide. Number 5, Hameabed es Oro. Ma'abed es Oro is working the hide, basically processing the hide. The Gemara later on will ask the question, salting the hide and processing the hide sound pretty similar to one another. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Let's wait for the Gemara to ask that question. Hamamachko, smoothing the hide. And number 7, Hamechatko, cutting it to the size that you want. Those are the 7 that are involved in the making of the hide. And then the next, I'm going to call them binyan. Now, I'm not saying my organization over here is perfect, but nevertheless, it's a great way to organize it. And so this is now the building. Hakosef Shtei Osios, writing 2 letters. We're going to learn together. The writing of the 2 letters is associated with building because for those of you who put up and put down your sukkah annually, so what you'll do is mark off which beams go where. And you'll mark off, this is A, that's beam A, that's beam B. And that way you'll know, next time you put it up, where to put what. Small recommendation, by the way, keep the frame of your sukkah up year-round. Okay. And I tried that at home. Works out great. Anyway, Hakosuf Shtei Osios, that's writing of two letters. Hamochek Amen Asechto Shtei Osios, the erasing in order to write two letters. Habona, the building, Vesoser, in destruction. Hamechabe Vahamavir. Mechabe Mavir, admittedly, within my organization, doesn't really fit so much into building. You can make the argument. I'm trying to make the argument. Extinguishing, lighting a fire, and Makibe Patish, and putting in the final blow. So these seven have to do with binyan, with building, and those are now going to make up the remaining of the 39 malachas. Not really. That gets us to the number 38. And then finally, Hamotzi Mirshus L'Rishus, and carrying from one domain to another domain. That is malacha number 39. Malacha number 39, Tosfos in the beginning of the Masechta, said that malacha number 39 is what he described as a malacha garua. It's an inferior malacha. Inferior, as we already discussed on day one of this Masechta. Not in the sense that it's going to be any less severe than violating any of the other malachos. It's just that all the other malachos speak to a creative process. Making bread. Building, making a garment. Making, constructing hides. Building a building. So these are all constructive in nature. Moving an item from one domain to another domain, so you are not changing the item itself. There's no creativity in moving an item. Nevertheless, it's one of the 39 malachos. Okay, and Tosos, what do we gain by calling it a malacha garua? So go back to the Tosos in the beginning of the Masechta. But in terms of real estate here in our Masechta, there is not a single malacha that is going to be discussed any more than that of Hotza'ah. The Gemara Shabbos is fascinated with the Malacha Vosar. Not only that, our next Masechta that we're going to do, Erevin, also has a fascination with the Malacha Vosar. So despite the fact that it's last, to see, it is not the least. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Malachas of Shabbos. I'll make one point. Obviously, each Malacha can be discussed in of itself extensively. The Gemara is going to be discussing each of the malachas, but admittedly, the Gemara is not going to be spending a lot of time with each of the malachas. Maybe a sentence or two regarding each of the malachas. With Borer, which is tomorrow's daf, more than a sentence. But the Gemara is not going to be speaking much about each of the malachas, and each of the malachas can be discussed extensively, not only can, is discussed extensively, both in terms of halacha and also in terms of lamdas, in terms of conceptualization. I will make one point. This point is a popular point. Many a shir is built around the following, and I'll just highlight it. And that is Zoreya. We'll start with the first of the malachas. The Gemara is going to ask the question that if for those of you who make bread from seed, you know that Zoreya is not really the first step. The first step in terms of making bread is Chorish, plowing, right? For all you do-it-yourself people. Who make bread from scratch. So first you plow the ground, then you plant the seed. The Gemara is going to ask the question in terms of why the Mishnah gives the order of first Zoreya, then Choresh. That is something that is coming up in today's daf. However, a point that is discussed extensively is a comment that's made by the Rashash. The Rashash, one of the commentaries in the back, 19th century Talmid Chacham, spent some time in Vilna, Rav Shmuel Shtarshon. So he writes extensively on the Gemara. He has, famously, a comment on every daf in Shas. He was a tremendous Talmid Chacham. Just biographically, he was never a Rav. He never was a Rav. He was a businessman. And he never had a position in the rabbinate. And he was, to say the least, a tremendous Talmid Chacham. Over here by Zoreya, he makes a comment which is a... well-discussed comment regarding the Mishnah, and that is that he compares Zoreya planting to that of baking, of Ofer. Now, if you think about it, when you talk about Zoreya, so Zoreya is not an instantaneous process, meaning many of the malachos, so you see the effects immediately, right? When we're talking about, for example, sifting, merakeid. So there, you take the coarse flour, you put it in the sifter, you shake it, and there you get, and you have now the effects of the sifting immediately. Zoreya, however, what do? You take the seed, you put it in the ground. And it's going to take time to take root. And let's just say it's a three-day process. Okay? I don't have to be absolutely correct about my numbers, but everyone understands that it's a process. Now, in terms of violating the malacha of Zoreya, so what does that mean? It means that you're putting the seed in the ground, and now you're immediately violating the malacha of Zoreya. Now, although you did the action of Zriya, but the effect of Zriya is not going to happen until a significant time later. In fact, the seed taking root in the ground is not going to occur over Shabbos. It'll occur after Shabbos. So, the Rashash makes a comment in the back, and he says, exactly how is this going to work regarding Zoreya? Vihine. So just reading from the Rashash in the back, and this gets to really test my eyesight, as the printer wanted to put in not just the Rashash, but many other of the later commentaries into the Gemara. And so therefore, the font size is of a particularly small size. However, Vihine. Im lakad Zoreya kodesh nishrash near the potter lemafreya. Let's say, after putting the seed in the ground, somebody then takes the seed out of the ground. And that'll save you from the malacha of Zorea. Even though you're the one who put the seed in the ground, the malacha is not created until the seed actually takes root. And the Rashash points out that if you go back to the beginning of our Masechta, Daf Gimel, so you see over there that this is in fact so. Dim Rodeo Kodim Shenef HaPotter. Remember, we discussed at the very beginning of the Masechta, if you take dough and stick it to the oven, and before it bakes, somebody rips off the dough from the oven, that'll save you from the Malacha of Ofer, of baking. What do you see? That the Malacha of baking only is going to be violated when the bread is actually baked, meaning the action of taking the dough and putting it in the oven is not the full violation of the malacha. It is the action with the result. Same thing says the Rashash when it comes to planting a seed. It's going to be the action with the result. And so therefore, says the Rashash, if we're in a scenario in which somebody were to pull the seed out of the ground before it takes root, so that will save you from the malacha. That is the Rashash's understanding of Zorea, and this Rashash is discussed extensively. Can we do that? Can we compare all the malachas one to another? Specifically in this case, are we allowed to compare Zoreya with Ofer? That just like by Ofer, it's clear from the Gemara that Afiyah is only going to be violated when the bread is actually baked. So is the same thing going to be true regarding Zoreya? The Rashash's answer was affirmative. That is correct. And many take issue with this Rashash. It is much discussed. I bring it to your attention because it is rather interesting. We're going to go on in the Gemara. We are now on the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, and we continue with the Gemara Minyan Olam Ali. At this point in time, we should know this next part of the Gemara really by heart, as the Gemara has gone over this point numerous times in our Perek. So why does the Mishnah give us the number 39? If we count up the Malachos of Shabbos, so we know that there are 39. Am Rav Yochanan Sheimas and Kula Melam Achad Chayav HaKol Achas V'Achas. So Rav Yochanan gives the answer. And that is that a person can violate all 39 malachos on one given Shabbos and be subject to a chiv chatos on every one of the 39. Meaning the idea of chiluk malachos, which we introduced already a number of dapim ago, and Rav Yochanan says it works. I mean, it works obviously in a extraordinarily negative way. But the Gemara back on Daf Ayin, most of Daf Ayin was dedicated to the topic of chiluk malachos, and Rav Yochanan says that if a person were to violate all 39, he'd be subject to having to bring 39 karman chatos. And then we're going to ask the question of the Gemara that the Gemara asked now three times over. If that's true, what would be an example of mezid b'shabbos shigigas malachos? How is it now that a person could have forgotten about all 39 malachos but still recognize that today is Shabbos? That was the Gemara's question that asked three times over. Each one of the three times, the Gemara gives different answers based on the context of the Gemara. We're not going to go over all three answers right now. We are, however, going to continue in the Gemara Hazoreya v'Choresh. The first two malachos are first planting, then plowing. Michti, Michrev, Karvei Bereishit. So the Gemara's question now is really simple. We foreshadow the Gemara's question. And that is, first you plow, then you plant. Why is the Mishnah giving us the order of planting following by plowing? Lifnei Choresh v'Hagel Lifnei Zoreya. What the Mishnah should do is first mention Choresh, plowing, and then afterwards Zoreya, planting. So Tana b'Eretz Yisrael Kai, the Gemara's answer is that the author of our Mishnah is living in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and all the Tanaim were living in Eretz Yisrael. There were Tanaim living in Bavel. But as far as the publication of the Mishnah, and those Tanaim were living in Eretz Yisrael. Dezari b'Reisha v'Hadda Karvei. The land in Eretz Yisrael was very tough. And even after planting the seeds, they would plow. Meaning, as Rashi explains over here, the first thing they would do is they would plow the ground. You have to plow the ground to create furrows in order to put the seeds in. They would put the seeds in. But because the land of Eretz Yisrael was so hard, it was so difficult, so it required a second plowing. And that second plowing there is to soften the ground even further in order so that the seeds really, so that the ground would really collect the seeds. And so our Mishnah here is talking really about the second plowing. From Rashi, it would seem, one would be Chayv on Choresh, both on the plowing number one and on the post-planting plowing. I cannot say that again. Rashi writes over here, Divrei Maschil Be'eretz Yisrael, Kashihi, Ben Yachol Lechasos Below Charisha, Ve'ashminan Dehanami Charishahi. This also qualifies as Charisha. Certainly sounds like from Rashi, that the act of plowing both before planting and post-planting is both going to be a malacha of Choresh. Continuing in the Gemara Tana, Hazarev, Vazomer, Vanotev, Vahamavrich, Vahamarkiv, Kula Malacha Achatein. Planting, pruning, Noteya, putting a sapling in the ground. Mavrich and Markiv, there are different types of grafting. Mavrich is when you take the branch, a long branch, and you reinsert that branch into the ground so that that branch will take root and to produce another tree. Markiv is more like classic grafting. They're all malacha achasein, they're all considered one malacha. Meaning these are all part and parcel of the malacha of Zoreya. Meaning when the Mishnah gives us the category of Zoreya, anytime you're doing any action that's going to promote growth, that also is going to be Zoreya. Now, in terms of categorization of avos and malachos, what exactly did the Gemara just teach us? Well, first, let's finish the Gemara. So the Gemara says that, look, because they're all part of the same family of malacha, they're all part of Zoreya, therefore, if a person were to violate any of these malachos simultaneously or concurrently, so you're only going to be chayav one karban. The idea that we've already expressed in the beginning of this perek, but here we get to see it play out. Now, how exactly are we organizing this information that we just learned? Meaning we were just given five different forms of planting. So what is the av? Which of these are the av and which of them are the talada? So there's a really interesting Rashi over here. I'll highlight the Rashi. Rashi Dibra Amaskal Kula Malacha Achasein. Rashi writes, just skip a couple of lines within the Rashi. Zorea av malacha. So Rashi writes that planting is an av malacha, vinotea nami av malacha. And when you're planting a tree, that's also an av malacha. Meaning Zoreya is planting a seed, meaning like grains. And when you're planting a tree, that's also an av malacha, dahinu Zoreya. El shezeb is right, vezeb ilanus. One's talking about seeds and the other's talking about trees. Vechein ma'avich u'markiv. And also grafting is also an av malacha. Av azomer tolada. But pruning, that's a tolada, that's a subcategory. Because when you're pruning, you are on one hand taking off a branch, on the other hand, you're promoting new growth on that which you cut. Now Rashi over here introduces us to a really interesting idea, and that is the idea of co-avos. Okay? Not a term I made up, but the idea that when we're discussing an av in of itself is not one paradigmatic example, but an av is just basically a concept. And within an av, what you can have is an idea that you can have shared avos definition, like what we just described. Of the five examples that were given to us, four of them are actually the av malacha of Zoreya. Zomer, on the other hand, which doesn't look the same as the others. Meaning, if we're going to ask the question, what is Zoreya? That means taking something and putting it in the ground in order to create new growth. That's Zoreya. So included in Zoreya as an av malacha is also going to be noteya, putting a tree in the ground, mavrich, markiv, grafting. So there you're putting something in the ground. So in order to create new growth. Now, zomer, pruning, so it doesn't look, I'm not putting something in the ground. So vis-a-vis the full definition of the av, it's not an av. Meanwhile, however, when I prune, so what you're doing, however, in the act of pruning, is promoting new growth. So in terms of goal, it has the same goal as Zoreya. It is going to be a talada. And again, just to remind one another, when a person violates a talada, that also is Chilul Shabbos. A person would be chayav karban chatos for violating a talada. If done intentionally, we're talking about Nisr Karis and Nisr Skila. So the only gain, so to say, in terms of giving definition to what the Av and what the Tolada is what the Gemara just articulated. that if you do an av and it's tolada, so then you're going to be chayv only one carbon chatas. What we just learned together is something new, is that there's also something known as ko-avos. And if I violate the ko-avos, in that scenario as well, you'd be chayv only one carbon chatas. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar b'acha, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rabbi Ami. Zomer chayv mishum noteah. If you prune, you're going to be subject to the Isser of noteah, v'noteah, v'amavich, v'amarkiv, chayv mishum zareah. And if you do these other four actions of putting something in the ground, like we just described, one is violating the Isser of Zareah. So the Gemara says, Mishum Zareah, in Mishum Noteah Lo. So the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Zareah, but not Noteah. Ema Af Mishum Zareah. Meaning you're also going to be violating Zareah as well. Amrav Kahana Zomer B'tzarech Le'etzim. Now, in terms of pruning, let's go back to pruning. And let's make the following point regarding pruning. And that is, let's say you're pruning, and really what you want to accomplish are two goals. Number one, you want to promote new growth. So you're pruning in order so that you'll have a new and stronger branch growing in that area. On top of that, it happens to be that you also need the wood as well. You need the branches that you just pruned. So chayiv shtayim. So in that one act now, you've just violated two malachos. Achas mishum kotzer, v'achas mishum noteya. One is because of kitzira. One is that you're harvesting, meaning anytime that you're taking something from the ground, something that you want. So that is the act of kotzer, that's the act of harvesting. And also because you're promoting new growth, so you're also involved in the malacha of noteya. So we can have now, we just learned together, that one action can result in two separate malachos if in fact that is your intention. When you are pruning and you want the branches, so you're now in violation of both zomer and zoreya. There's a really interesting Tosus over here. I'll just highlight it. Tosus over here wonders. Let's go over the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that a malacha shein tzrich legufa is going to be potter. Now, that means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if I'm doing the malacha, but I'm not doing it for its intended purpose, I'm doing it for another purpose. Classic example would be, let's say I'm digging a hole in the ground, but not because I want the hole, but rather because I want the dirt. So Rabbi Yehuda, this falls under the category of malacha shein tzrich legufa. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is throughout Masechta Shabbos. We already saw it a number of times, that malacha shein tzrich legufa would be chayav. So let's ask the following question. The Gemara just told us that if I'm pruning with the intent of wanting the branches, so under those circumstances, one violates both zoreah and kotzer. Now, if I were to ask Rabbi Yehuda, what would be your position if, let's say, you prune and I don't want the branches? I'm pruning simply because I want to prune. I want new growth and the stronger branch to grow right there. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, shouldn't you be chayv too? Meaning Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a malacha shein tzrich legufa is going to be chayv. And even though my specific intention and design over here is just to prune to create new growth, but when all is said and done, you are getting the branches. And this doesn't this fall under the category of the malacha shein tzrich legufa? And wouldn't he say that you're chayv under those circumstances? And Tosus writes over here, it is the fourth Tosus down from the top. Nireh, Tosus says that when it comes to the malacha of kotzer, afilu Rabbi Yehuda de chayv malacha shein tzrich legufa beinan tzarech le'etzin. Even though Rabbi Yehuda generally says that a malacha shein tzrich legufa is in fact going to be chayav, over here when it comes to the malacha of kotzer, you need this requirement of tzarech etzin. Even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that this is part of the definition of the malacha. And the wording of Tosus over here is really striking. Delo mikre be'etzim kotzer ela be'inyan zeh. Meaning, as far as the definition of the malacha, if it is not, if I'm cutting a branch, but I have no interest in the branch itself, that by definition is not the malacha of kotzer. It lacks the definition. In fact, Tosus says, you know what it's like? Of the many malachas we were introduced to this morning, it's like erasing. Is erasing a malacha? No. The Mishnah says erasing is only erasing. It only qualifies as a malacha when I'm erasing with the purpose of writing. Rabbi Yehuda is not going to argue with the definition of the malacha here as well. The definition of kotzer means I am pruning because I want the branches. I'm harvesting because I want the grain. If I'm harvesting but I don't want the grain, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, this is not a malacha shein tzrich legufa. it's not a malacha. Really important point by Tosos in terms of looking at what the very definition of a malacha is. We continue, we go back to the Gemara. Amar of Yosef, about 15 lines from the top of the Amud. Second word in the line. Amar of Yosef, Haiman de Katos Basa, the person who cuts hay. Chai Shtayim is going to be subject to two malachas, achas mishum kotzev, achas mishum notea. Assuming that he wants the hay. He is both harvesting, and on top of that also he's promoting new growth. Amar Abaye Haiman de Kanev Silka, the person who cuts beets. Chai Shtayim. When we say cut beets, meaning that he's pruning his beet patch, and he would be chayv too. Achas mishum kotzer, he's harvesting the beets. Achas mishum zorea, and also he's promoting new growth. Hachorish, now we're up to the malacha of plowing. Tana, we learned in a braisa. Hachorish v'achofer v'achoritz kula malacha achas hein. So, plowing and creating other grooves in the ground. Chofer and choritz are descriptions of other types of grooves. So that is malacha achas hein, that's one malacha. And we could repeat the point that Rashi taught us this morning. That really what we're describing over here are kol avos. If, let's say, a person has a mound of earth and move that mound of earth. So it depends. Babais, if the person is in the house, chayv mishimbona. So that means now that he is leveling the surface area of his house. That's part of the act of binyan. Besad, if he did this in the field, chayv mishimchoresh. That is plowing. Moving ground, moving earth is considered, the outside is considered the act of charisha. Amarava, haisa lo guma, vitamama babais. If, let's say, there was a hole, and he filled the hole. So if this was done, bebais, if it was done in the house, chayv mishum bona, that's an act of building. Basad, if it's out in the field, mishum choresh. So he would be subject to the malach of choresh. Amar Rebbe Abba, chofer guma b'shabas v'nitzarech el ala afra pater aleha. If, let's say, a person were to dig a hole in the ground, but only because he wants the dirt, not because he wants the hole, he would be pater. Pater aleha v'afil Rebbe Yehuda damar malach ha-shein tzrich l'gufa chayv aleha. And even the shita of Rabbi Huda says that a malacha shein tzrich legufa is going to be chayev. Hani milu mistakin, that's only if it is done in a constructive manner. Hai makalkohu, but this is makalko, this is destructive in nature. And even Rabbi Huda would say under these circumstances that a person would not be chayev, even though Rabbi Huda subscribes to the idea that malacha shein tzrich legufa would be chayev. In terms of the definition of malacha shein tzrich legufa, this is a topic that comes up again and again. How do we define the concept, the category of malacha shein tzrich legufa? So here I'm going to turn our attention to Rashi. Rashi is right here on our daf. Rashi writes over here, misakein kama motzias ames lekovro ein of tzrich legufa. Let's go over an example of malacha shein tzrich legufa that the Gemara is going to go over later in the Masechta. And that is, let's say, rachmanus, a person dies on Shabbos and the remains are in the house right now. And I'm picking it up and moving it from the house to another domain. So there you're violating the malacha of Hotzah. However, says Rashi, this is malacha shein tzrich legufa. Well, Rashi doesn't say it, the Gemara says it. But Rashi explains, why is it a malacha shein tzrich legufa? Eino tzrich legufa da hotzah v'lo lemeis ela lifanos beiso. If you're taking the mace out of the house simply because you do not want the mace in the house, that's not a malacha. Or, let's say it better, that is a malacha shein tzrich legufa. Melacha had tzricha legufa, says Rashi. V'hotzar tzricha legufa kagon shu'tzarach lechavitze b'machem acher. When I'm moving an item because I want the item not in point A, but I want to move it to point B, that's melacha had tzricha legufa. If all I'm doing is just siluk, I'm just removing the item from point A because I don't want it in place A, that's a melacha she'ina tzricha legufa. Rashi consistently uses this as his definition of what a malacha shein tzrich legufa is. I'm not trying to make something positive. I'm just simply removing something which is a negative. That is Rashi's definition. Later in the Masechta, we'll go over a different definition of malacha shein tzrich legufa. We'll do Tosus's definition. We'll reserve that for later in the Masechta when Tosus says it inside. Back to our Gemara. Let's finish up the daf. Hakotzer, the mission now. So we've discussed in some detail the malach of Zorea, we discussed the malach of Choresh, and we're up to now the malach of Kotzer. Kotzer says the Gemara Tana. Hakotzer, Abotzer, Hagoder, Ha-Mesik, Vaha-Ode. This is all forms of pruning. They're just simply applied to different fruits. You could see Rashi where he matches the verb with the particular fruit that's connected to. But in the meantime, however, just so that we can finish the daf, we're going to go. Kula malacha achas, they're all one malacha. Again, for a third time today, we introduce ourselves to this idea of having a co-av. Amra papa haiman edisha de pisa ledikla. So Rav Papa says that let's say you would take a clump of earth and throw it at the palm tree, the aser tamre, and by doing so you're dislodging the dates. So chayv shtayim. So one is going to be subject to two malachos. Achas mishum tolesh, meaning you have now picked the dates off the tree. That is a form of talisha. That's kotzer. Tolesh and kotzer are again synonymous. So you have picked the date off the tree, even though you didn't pick it with your hands, even though you did it with a clod of earth. And now as the date hits the ground, what's going to happen now is that the harder outside shell is going to come off, and so one is also going to be in violation of the malacha of mefarik, dash, threshing. Threshing is where you're removing the shell from the kernel from its shell, so that's the malacha of dash. We'll discuss more of that also later in the Masechta. Rav Ashi Amar in derech klisha bekach ve in derech prika bekach. Now Rav Ashi says, look, yes, it's true that you have removed the date from the tree, but you've done so in an abnormal way. You didn't go up there and pick it with your hands. You didn't use a picker. You threw a clod of earth at it. This is what's called kala achar yad. This is done in an unusual way. And on Shabbos, it only violates the malacha min haTorah if it's done kidarko, in the way that's normally performed. And since this is unusual, so this doesn't violate the malacha of talisha min haTorah. It doesn't violate the malacha of perika min haTorah, because this is done in an unusual manner. Ha-ma'amer, and let's just finish up today with the malacha of ma'amer, that's gathering, ha-ma'rava, ha-iman, the kind of milcha, mi-ma'chasa, chai misha ma'amer. So Rava says, let's say you farm salt, and that means to say that you're basically you have a, right, we're by the Dead Sea, and you have pockets of salt, and now what you're doing is you're collecting the salt from various locations in order to gather them together. So Rav says it's a violation of the malacha ma'amer. Abaymar ein imor ele b'gidulei karka. Abay is of the opinion that the malacha of imor only applies to things that are growing from the ground. And since our salt is not growing out of the ground, so therefore one does not violate ma'amer with collecting the salt from the various deposits of salt. This idea that ma'amer only applies to something that grows on the ground, so this is not a universal meaning, and we'll see this very clearly as we go through the Gemara, that when it comes to other malachos, so they're not limited to things that grow from the ground. So for me to try to construct a rule of when do we say that something only applies to gedulei karka, when does it not? So I know when the Gemara says it, we just saw it together, but when exactly is there a way that I can conceptualize it? So my answer right now, unfortunately, is no. The hadash, let's do one more. The malacha of dash, disha, the threshing, and that is where you're removing the chaff, when you're removing the harder outer shell from the grain, from the kernel. Tana, hadash v'hamenafet v'hamenafet. So over here, when doing the act of removing the outer shell, whether it's where you're doing so with a kernel of grain, whether you're doing so with flax, whether you're doing so with cotton, kula malacha achasein, as long as you're removing the outer shell, so that is the malacha of disha, and it is not just limited to grain. It applies to anything that has a harder outside shell. Let's recap our daf today. We continued with the idea of misasek, the machlokas between Rav and Abaye. Rav and Abaye are debating in terms of what exactly the scope of misasek are or is. We went through three different examples between yesterday's daf and today's daf of what is on the dividing line between Rava and Abaye in terms of what is included in misasek. We explained why we needed all three of those examples, and that was the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf, Avos Malachos. We introduced ourselves to the 39 malachos of Shabbos. How do we know the 39 malachos? So we go back to the Gemara and Daf Mem Tes, which we did this morning. It says that it is involved in the Avodas HaMishkan. Like Rashi says, the construction of the Mishkan. So these 39 activities were necessary in terms of putting the Mishkan together. That's why the Torah puts the Parshios of Shabbos and Malachos HaMishkan together. And so these 39 are involved in the Malachos HaMishkan.
The way I helped us remember the 39 malachas this morning is by organizing the 39 malachas, breaking it up into four different categories. The first 11, the Gemara is going to do that. In fact, we'll see that tomorrow. The first 11 are what's called Sidur de Pas, the 11 steps in terms of making bread. The next 13 are involved in the making of fabric. The next 7 is the making of hide. The next 7, I'm not fully confident about the way I organize the next 7, but basically having to do with binyan, having to do with building. So it is bread, clothing, hides, and building. And then finally, the 39th malacha is that of hotzah. After going through the 39 malachas, we started the Gemara, where the Gemara now is going to be taking us through each of the malachas. The Gemara is going to have a comment or two about each of the malachas. Tomorrow, we're going to be doing the malacha of Borer. There, the Gemara has more than just a comment, but the Gemara is going to have a comment or two regarding all of them. Also, this morning, we touched on the point of the Rashash in terms of the definition of Zorea, planting. So is it the act of planting, or is it, or do you also need the result as well in order for the to be the malacha of planting? The Rashash says that it's just like baking. By baking, you need the act and you need the result. The Rashash says the same thing is true regarding planting, a much-discussed Rashash. Many are opposed to his idea that he introduced us to this morning. And on the Amud Beis of this morning, we went through the malachas of Charisha, Zriya. Let me go in the order of the Mishnah. We went through the malachas of Zorea, Choresh, Kotzer, and Ma'amer. Oh, and quickly we also touched on Dush as well. So of the 39 malachas, we made comments regarding the first 5 of the malachas. And just one other big idea that we went over this morning, and that is the idea of ko-avos, meaning that even though the Mishnah, let's use the malach of Zorea as an example. Even though the Mishnah introduced us to the idea of Zorea, Zorea is an av malacha, anything that is going to be like planting, that's going to accomplish the same goal as a tolada, but Zorea is not the only av. This is the way Rashi presents it. But Zorea is an av malacha, so is Noteah. So when you put the sapling in the ground, that's also an av malacha. When you're taking a branch of a tree and you're putting that into the ground, that also is an av malacha. When you're grafting, that's also an av malacha. Rashi introduced us to the idea of ko avos, another very big idea that comes out of today's daf as well.